Mr. Schutt, Rail 4. Had you been attached to a platoon and a company by this time?
Oh, yes, yes.
Do you recall which company you were in?
I was in B Company.
And the platoon, do you remember the platoon you were in?
No, I couldn't remember the platoon I was in.
Who was commanding B Company?
At that time,
do you recall any of your sergeants in the company? Any NCOs?
No, but I know them.
But I can't remember them. But were there a good bunch?
Oh, yes. There's a sergeant there who used to borrow money off me. He was about a couple of bob, half a crown. He gives it back, but he borrowed it again, isn't it? It's one of them, but every man. If he finished, I don't know what the money there. I've never let him take it, but it's just to see it, you know. Didn't bother coming back for it. Anyway, I was in Bonnyrigg. You know, I think there's a forest there, at Bonnyrigg, and it was called Caledonian Forest, the Caledonian Forest. And we'd be training there. We had to head into this forest, you know, go down into this forest. We did a lot of training. I can remember we had to pass through this forest, so many of us. And then we had to find our way back to the old trees and all sorts. And we got that, so we take you through it in, and you've got to, you know, you've got to find your own way back. So anyway, we had that on, and I was congratulated on that, mind. I managed, I was one of them, the first to be back where we started from. Because I was going along, I was keep saying, well, there's, you know, a sapling there, an oak tree there. I don't know when I go on, if I go on a trip with a wife, you know, I get out of a bus to get me bearings in a strange spot. That's the first thing I do, is to look round and say where I'm at. But anyway, that kept me going, being used to going in the country. There's a lot of townies, you know, I didn't know much about the country. Even that office I was with, these who cut saplings down in the wood one day, and he had no idea what a matchet. He used to get a matchet, you know, and he couldn't cut through it. And he used to say, sir, you've got to get out of it like that and come down over. You're going against the grain. He used to say, well, that's marvellous. So that's much easier than the matchet was cutting through with the, you know. But if you go straight on, it's sort of common sense, these things. I can remember all that thing.
What rank was Dees?
He was a full corporal.
No, this officer that you told me.
Full officer.
Yeah, lieutenant.
Mm-hmm. He had two stripes. So he was all right. No, of course, when we got the tattoo, he left me, and he called abroad. He wanted me to go with him at the time.
Had you been, do you know whether your unit was in a division at this point? Had you been brought into a divisional setup?
No, I don't know what was that point or not. But we used to wear the Hawk Tree, which was the 46th Division at the finish.
Yes, you went into the 46th Division.
I can't remember exactly when we got it. But we used to stick, you know, got these to stick on the 46th. It was a Hawk Tree. I was in the 39th or the 139th Brigade.
139 Brigade.
139. I still remember that's our normally an army number, mate. That's when that dummy there came. I meant to stray away the army. But we used to have to know rifle numbers and basic numbers and all sorts when we were in the army.
What was your army number?
4465664. As a matter of fact, I had my old kit bag in the garden shed there just a few months back. brand new. I got children. Say where we're up now, Caledonia Forest. Anyway, we moved on from there. This is we crossed the fourth bridge. We're on our way again, further north. We've come from Bonnyrea as far as this is. I think Bonnyrea, I'm not sure it was this side, must have been this side of the fourth bridge. Anyway, we went across the fourth bridge and we landed at Dunfermline. That was our next stop. And we're putting a drill hole there, more like a pitch hole, it was called a drill hole, anyway. And we had these boards all around the drill hole. It was a big place. On each side, our boards were about 6 inches off the bottom, and we had these biscuits to lie on. And, of course, he used to come in and out through the night, and he used to change the guard in there, you know. We couldn't get much sleep. Not only that, but the rats used to run underneath these boards, because outside there was a little gutter. It was infested with rats. They used to run on the back of this building. And we used to say, they used to point out, there's a rat there, underneath the bed, 6 inches high, run things like that. But that was nothing after all. When they come in to change the guard, he used to clatter the board, you know, through the night. And not only that, they used to unload, and as a shot went off, straight through the roof, and one went off over the side. That was, you know what I mean? They want to juice them. That wasn't any much of an idea. You got the wind up at the finish when you used to come in and run the road. You know, they used to run the road. There was one left in there, went straight through the roof. And one of them went over the side, on the opposite side. I don't remember them things.
So you had live ammunition when you were on guard?
Oh, yes. Aye, what's the bad? There's one that went through the roof, the whole roof there and stuff.
What else were you doing at Dunfermline? Just continuing your training?
I'll tell you, yes, most of the training was there, marching and that. Where we did our marching, that was in Carnegie's Park. It was a beautiful park. It was all cement, and the flower bed that time they had were lovely. And it was to say to the civilians, what a beautiful park, and we couldn't get over the blooms and that, and the green light, of course. But I would put some training and bashing there. It was a big park, and this Carnegie, he was a multi-millionaire, and he'd left all his money to be spent on this park, and he was a big name in Dunfermline, Carnegie, he was all over the place, his name. I always remember that.
Had you got down to field training now as regards drill, the next stage on, going out and training in the field, platoon and company training?
I'm just trying to think about Dunfermline.
No, it's a big town, isn't it?
But anyway, Dunfermline, this is a little bit complicated. It was Christmas time when we were at Bonnyrea, I can remember that. Across my office, and when we were in this Caledonian forest, all the berries was out. And he said to me, "Sure," he says, "look," he says, "gather me some of them lovely berries and I'll take them back to where our Lord's for the woman." You know, so carry a load of berries, but mind the wild, they're lovely. So he just took them up. When he got there, she nearly went down and she said, "I don't want them." They didn't, Christmas was nothing to them. They didn't, it was more booze at the New Year. So that was flopped on where he didn't like that. If they had a private, the Jesuits were lodged in a private house then, the officers.
Did you resent the way that they had an, seemed to have an easier time than you?
What officer? Mm.
Did you resent it?
Oh no, well, we were just doing what we were entitled to it, I suppose, in that position. Well, anyway, we had a lot of training in Dunfermline in that park. I know I had a better help of these, you know, these heavy books, but I got a bit here, like, here, what was so, you know, we were marching, it was very painful. And we were up and down the road, and they were shouting and yelling, and every 5 minutes, they used to drop out, you know, and the first thing they run for was tea or smoke. Right, 5 minutes, you know, smoke. Everybody used to drop out, and we used to drop out for smoke or tea. But the light there. So did the NCOs that were trainers, you know, they liked a little bit. But that went on for months, that training down there in Dunfermline.
Did they examine your feet regularly after long marches?
No, I just had to look up your road. Only once. I'll never forget that day. That was further down the Peckford. And when we were in Dunfermline, that was Christmas time when you were in, and then we were doing quite a bit. That's where the group is in with the marching and that, the railing, one thing like that.
So they're really toughening you up at this stage.
Okay, yes, they were. Well, anyway, from Dunfermline, this is another bit. Things was getting nigh. When we finished in Dunfermline.
Do you recall moving to Dalkeith?
Pardon?
Do you recall moving to Dalkeith? Do you recall that as your unit moved to Dalkeith from Dunfermline?
To Dalkeith?
That isn't, you don't recall that? That'd be very late, well, as you say, Graham, Christmas, well, no, you were Bunny Rig, was it?
Yeah. Christmas.
Yes. Well, did you move from Dunfermline, did you move to Thetford?
Yes, I must have done. Because I'll tell you why. The next thing we knew, we were going to Thetford. We moved from Dunfermline to Thetford. That was our last move in Scotland. Oh, just a minute. Aye, we didn't go. We used to go down to Portobello for the baths and that. That's the Rossite area from Dunfermline. But then I'll tell you something I'll never forget. That's when we were going abroad to Thetford. The whole battalion was together and we marched down Princes Street. The whole mind, it was a sight. You marched down there and the people, you know, the aisles were out with the flags and waving. They put a little bit of, you know, life into you somehow or another. The priests, because they did like that, during my infantry, but being there, you know, 6 or 7 months, and they knew them, people knew them. And we marched down Princes Street, and really, you know, trod the way down to that station. We were on our way. We didn't know where. Anyway, we mounted the train there, we were going to train at Edinburgh. And off we went, to travel all day. And that's when we finished up at Thetford. That was our next stop. Well, you know, it was all open goals at next time. We got into some sort of an old building that was, I forget what it was now, but it was an old building. Run along the river, run along the side of it. That's where we were billeted.
What were you doing there?
Well, we were in Thetford there, then. That's not it. That's the second largest county in England, I presume. And it's nothing but fir trees. The roads, we used to march there, too. That's where we really marched, days on end. Stopping all that time, climbing up ropes at the end of marches, you know, just to lower these ropes down on the side like a bit of a cliff. We had to do them things, pull up on the rope with your packs on, you know, up the top. It was frightening at times, you know. And that's what
So this training was very intensive.
It was, yes. Well, we went down there, I think they were expecting an invasion at the time. And they had an idea it might land on that type of, there's plenty of open country there for them, you know. And that's where we really trained heavy. It was all the night ups and all. We marched, we must have marched every day, the route marches all around. I was put like 3 weeks out, camping out, you know, it was rough, rough time.
This would be early 1941?
Yes.
Because you had Christmas in Scotland, didn't you?
Yes. Okay. Well, I come a bit, just round up, Deptford area. Well, I was on a march there, I remember being on that march, and I had a bit ill on that march. Marching miles. Everybody was out on that train. I know it was a fortnight or 3 weeks, so we're out just living it rough, really rough.
Where did you sleep then, and when you were out that time?
Anywhere.
Did you have little bivouacs or?
No, all we had was gas caps.
Just open air?
Yeah. It must have been fine weather. It was plenty, you know. Let's see where I was up there. Anyway, we're on this route march. All heavy kit, all packed, slogging away. You go into these roads in, you know, with pine trees at each side of you. It's not boring, you know. No open country. And you're supposed to think, well, we'll get around this bend, it might be a bit better. But get around that bend, far as the eye could see, straight, marching all the time. March on every hour, dropping out for 10 minutes. Well, at the finish, they dropped out, everybody was crippled. And I had a bed here. Just I can remember it here. We're all laid out, up the dyke box. The medical officer was out before swing. Everybody had their feet up, the blisters were sore. And I had a bed here, on this foot here. It was white, no? Funny thing, I got ready for all these things. I took a pair of stockings with me and I knew what these route marches was. We had no granites to carry in our packets, in our pouches. I thought I'd take a pair of socks. And each time we stopped, if there was any water kicking around, I used to rub them out, turn them out, and I used to dry them off on the march, just let them hang out, you know. But anyway, I had this bed here. But I also, I had a great believer in Zampa ointment at the time, and I took one of them with me, you know. And I plastered this stuff on, Zampa ointment, every stuff. And this medical officer came to me, and I told him, I said, I have a bit of ale here, sir. And, you know, not that was white. But, he wasn't going to lance it. When I said, I've got some ointment there, I said, I think it might be doing good. Oh, he says, I wouldn't put that on. So, anyway, when he turned his back and went away, I rammed it on. I had big faith in Zampa ointment. I still have, but I can't get it now. I still have a little bit left in the bathroom there, the last. And do you know, I heard them say, the sergeant, marching better now at the finish days, and I was carrying 3 rifles along to the others, the 21-year-olds, the young'uns, you know. It was marvellous, that stuff. Soreness and everything was gone. And that's why I always believe in this Zango painting. I can't get it now, and I've been all over the place. There's a little bit left there. I wish I could get it.
Did you sing the normal army songs on your marches?
No, I was army outstanding. I always used to sing, try and keep me going. I forget them now, but I've got them on a tape there. I've got the old army song.
Were you training with other units, support units, like tanks? Did you get any opportunity to train with tanks at this point?
Yes, I believe we had a mud bottle on the domes, somewhere down there. I said there'll be dummy ammunition we were using, you know. So many tanks on. Yes, we had that. We had all sorts. There's not much going up, you know. I mean, it's that long since, but we had that. Now that you mention it, yes. Well, we were out there for 3 weeks. Well, when they come in, they were all going to the medical officer that day after that march. And that was one of the heaviest we had. Another time, out again, denims will be worn. Back home, all the rifles are dropped off. We had to pass through this river. We had to cross it through the river. This is in part of your training, you know. There's a bridge there. So far up, but no, you know, he says, boys, you've got to go through the river, go up to there.
The chest.
Up to there. Oh, so they must have known that. The rifle would never need to go to ammunition. You go through with the hand with the rifle up, through, right across the river. And that's the type of training they give you. Wet, mud, slowly, you know. Back to the barracks, clean up, clothes, and all that. All the training up there.
You must have been becoming pretty fit by now.
We're ready for killing, I tell you, before we got through there. Well, we're ready to kill, you know. That's the type of feeling. I used to say it like, well, can it be any better? Might be better off abroad, you know. There's more peace than this. All this buzz, as we used to call it, you know. Of course, that's your training. Mind you're well fit. There's no telling ways about it. By the time we get through there, you've got a good group, good plain group.
The usual army, but well.
Good stuff. Yes, if you had that, you took no harm. I remember we got an officer there. We keep changing these officers. There's a captain. This was in Thetford. And he was an old soldier, one of the regulars. Trained, he wasn't bought in, you know, he really trained from the bottom. Captain, and he was a proper job. He came in the officer's mess. And I saw this, and he got that when he joined our company, when he joined our lot, he went to the cook, got this cook, he belonged to Ardipole. This is the lad that we couldn't get out from the vans and the bombs had got me through there. I forget his name. He says, I want you, forget his name now, to come and cook for us, the officer's mess. And he says, I don't want any bloody serviettes. The officer used to have serviettes and all this. He says, that's no bloody good for them. You know, this lad, he was roughy. He was a cook, but he didn't know, so I couldn't. I qualified to cook for officers, you know. So, fancies. He says, he couldn't manage. And he says, don't worry. He says, I just want. Cook these buggers a bloody good meal, that's all I want. You know, like what you cook for the lads. No fancy stuff. That's the type of fella he was. Well, we used to go down and live with the lads at the, you know, with us, of the same group. But anyway, this new grenade came out at the time. A new grenade. And he was on Riddles, testifying with you. After it shows and tells all about this new grenade, he was going to operate. And we went out in the open, in the fields, And we got this graveyard. And of course, we learned all about it, pins in, pins out, and this and that and the other. How many minutes to wait and think. And he threw this grenade and it stood, you know, it didn't go off. It was over its time, you know. Stand back, you know, give it a bit longer. Anyway, this Captain Metcalf, stand back, he says, play back a bit. He said, he went up. He touched it with his foot, it went off and blew his foot off. And that was the finish of Captain Metcalf. Well, it was a silly trick to do. If I had better half thought, he should have put his rifle bullet in or something like that, still by. But he went to, and he thought it must be a door, there's something wrong somewhere. And that's not happened to him. He was finished. And all them things sticks in my crop.
Were there many accidents? Were there many other accidents that you had to make?
You put a bullet through the feet when what are there, you know, when I was going abroad, I didn't like it. There was more so on the end, say yours, that was close and all. They didn't want to go, no. They didn't want to go.
And one or two, as you say, actually had an accident.
Accidentally. Not accidentally. I guess we had one or two did that. None was an accident.
Do you recall any of them that did this?
No. It's just what the rumors, you know, gets on.
You would have made some close friends by now, obviously.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I was with my friend at. He lives up near Durham, but I didn't know he was alive and strong. He was a batman, you know. We were together. We were together all the way through because we got so far. We lost each other. Later on.
And were you still a batman to this officer at Thetford?
No, he went from Thetford. I think that's where he had to go abroad. I think that would be it. It'd be earlier, you know.
You'd be sending drafts abroad from the unit and getting new ones in, were you?
My officers probably weren't. We come in, remember, he says, would you like to come? Well, he's going abroad. Well, I didn't want to go abroad at the time. That's why I said, no, I'll wait till I'm, you know, got all stuck with the lads. And he went off and worked on since. He was in the Middle East. Where he was sent. He got only what happened to him, but he's alive enough. He was a school teacher.
Where did you move from Thetford? Where did you go?
Well, we were all over Norfolk. All over. We were at Great Yarmouth. We were billeted there on the seafront. That was seaside, well, you know, it was all wire balloons, half floating for aircraft, you know. The aircraft, the air trail in there on the same side front. Low stuff further down. I finished up down further down at Folkestone. I was in Folkestone.
These were beach defences you were doing, right?
Yes, I was down in Folkestone. I was meant to be in Folkestone and I was walking down there in my way and this Red Cap come over to me and he says, how are you doing that? I can join the Red Caps. I don't know why, but anyway, he said, I says, no. I don't know, I didn't want to join any Red Caps. I was happy, where was that?
Do you recall doing any defending of aerodromes up in Norfolk and Yarmouth area?
Not aerodromes. I was on no aerodromes. I was in Folkestone, I mentioned all this, I was in Camberley, Winchester.
If we can get the order, obviously you're in Norfolk and the Yarmouth area, and then you'd move to Folkestone, presumably.
I was in Folkestone, yes.
That was down on the south coast. And then from there to, do you remember Rye, being in Rye?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I was in a billet in Rye. I was nearly killed in Rye by a bomb. We landed at Rye, Sussex. Yeah. And I was billeted in I was on my own in this house in Rye. It was all cobblestones and all. It was fully like little country village to me. It was all cobblestones.